Turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. People ask me why I'm going to preach. I said, I'll make it up as I go. People have been predicting the second coming of Christ way back. I remember dating in 1914 that and people were meeting and they were prepared to meet the Lord. Some of them were one case where a person jumped over a building, a high building, to fly with the Lord in the air and all this stuff. And it didn't happen. Well, during the time of that this was written, now this was written at Corinth around 53 AD. There was the same type of thing that was taking place. People thought the Lord's coming was going to be very quickly now, in their lifetime. No doubts that they had some misinformation handed them that wasn't from the apostles, where they looked at that. Now, looking at other passages of scripture, just to give you a little idea, you know, when Matthew chapter 24 had always been referred to as the destruction of Jerusalem and the second coming of Christ. Matthew chapter 25 tells us, even if you believe the whole book, chapter 24, was the destruction of Jerusalem, chapter 25 tells us that we need to still prepare. But I believe it still deals with the second coming of Christ, and from verse 36 on in chapter 24. Now, and you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, it talks about the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And you look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth that's therein shall be burned up. All these things have been predicted. Now, when you look at chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 2, that you have an idea of what this is talking about, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Okay? Now look at chapter 3, verse 10. And through 12, it says, same 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, he says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now, them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own meat. See, they thought the Lord was going to come in quickly, so they quit their jobs and they were instructed again now to go back to work and provide for your own. If you don't work, you don't eat. This nation needs that desperately. The whole workforce in our country is in jeopardy. How do we compete with the whole world? We have to get people back to work and have work ethics. And we are responsible to help people that are helpless. There's all kinds of different situations and circumstances, but we are commanded to work and take care of our families. Now, all these things have been recorded for our learning. Now, and what we just made statements of. Now, when you look in chapter 1, verse 1, we'll just go as far as we can. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy's, and to the church of the Thessalonians, and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it was always in company. You always notice that. Peter, James, and John. And then you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It talks about the same thing. Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Of course, Timothy was like a relationship with Paul, a son in the faith. More than likely, high suspicion that he converted Timothy, and he had a lot of respect for young Timothy, and Silas, an older Christian. They were in company, and Paul and Silas in Acts 16 were in prison at Philippi, and they were put, you know, and all the events that took place there. He says in verse 2, he says, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a salutation that he always had in his writings. Grace, God's favor to man, and peace. He wants the church to have peace. He wants people to have peace. He wants the peace of passive understanding for those who are in Christ, that they have peace among suffering at that time. And he says, verse 3, he says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is right or meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the love of every one of you toward each other aboundeth. Thanks, a prayerful salutation that we need to pray all the time, constantly in prayer. But the gratitude that's extended here. We are bound to thank God always, always giving God the credit for you. He appreciates the church of the Thessalonians, Thessalonica. He appreciates them very much. And he says, of this, he says, because, all this is because that your faith groweth exceedingly. See, as newborn babes, the desire that is sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. I'll get it out one of these days. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. We are to grow, okay? The Hebrew brethren weren't growing, and they had to come back to the first principles of the message of God. But we are to continue, our faith should continue to increase, okay, and grow. We need to never be stagnant in our growth. And I'm telling you, folks, you ain't going to get it just coming to church, coming to the assembly a couple times a week. You're not going to get it. You got to do it at home. People are going to learn at home. By reading and studying at home. Every time I study with somebody, they always bombard me with questions. And I can give them somewhat of answers, but then I have to go home and put some more effort in it, then come back, and I've been doing it for a long time, come back and give them thorough answers. Does that make sense? Because I don't care how much you study, how much you prepare, there's just things you won't be able to answer. You won't be able to answer everything. I can usually give them, throw out stuff, but I'm not satisfied with that. I want them to know these things. So it's a constant growing of our faith, and we will only get it. That's the first thing I try to tell people, that even before we start to study, if they're interested in studying, is that if you don't believe this, if you won't accept the written word of God, if you don't believe this, then what else are you going to believe? Tell me, where are you going to go? Which direction are you going to go? If you don't believe the Bible, where else? What else is there? And then I give them a few passages of scripture on biblical authority, and then you go on. But the point is, our faith should continue to grow and not be stagnant. I think you... As time goes on, you should want to teach the unbeliever. And that's another thing. You know, leaving your first love is when you don't have no desire to reach another soul for Christ. Okay, that's when you leave your first love. And as long as we live, if we have that desire to reach another soul, to invite another soul. You know, how many people in your lifetime have you invited to church, and have you tried to set up a Bible study and they say no? Probably 99%. Most people will reject the Word of God. The whole world would reject the Word of God, most of them, except for the saints. But we need never give up the searching for the soul. They're out there. Not very many, but they're out there. And we have to be willing to find them. And that's what the faith is talking about. And we don't want to ever get in our life. I'm telling you, if you get in your life where you don't care about souls, you're going to lose your soul. I'm telling you, because that's what it's all about, reaching a soul for Christ. But anyway, talking about their faith, their great faith growth exceedingly, not mediocre, exceeding. They went beyond the bounds. And he says, and the love of every one of you toward each other aboundeth. The love. Why did Clarence come here and preach agape all week? Agape, agape, agape. It's because as you get older and you continue to grow in your life, you begin to see that your journey is almost ended. And he and Clarence, of all people like us, he knew, and he said, this is it. The agape love is what it's all about, caring for one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. And he says that your the love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. And that's in verse 3. Overflowing. I've heard Clarence, he went to Memphis one time, the Memphis School of Preaching. They used to have the congregation, they've moved now, but it used to be the Knight Arnold Church of Christ. About a membership, about 500. Well, he went in there, and Brother E.L. Whitaker, the preacher, been there for probably 30-some years. Well, he was sick. And Clarence came in, and they asked him to preach. And he preached off the cuff to 500 people. He was prepared, and he did. But see, that's the overflow. That's the overflow. Our Christianity overflows, okay? And you can't study any book, the Bible, without overflowing. You will overflow. You will continue to bring up stuff that you've studied, and it will come out. That's why it's so important to study and to continue to grow. We must. Now, verse 4, he says, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your faith, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. So the church was suffering. We haven't got to that point in this country, but I think if we live long enough, we could see physical persecution. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Persecution will take place some way, somehow. Because the scriptures do not lie. They say what they say. It talks about for your patience. You know, as you're a young pup, you know, when you're young, you become impatient sometimes and you fly off the handle and all that. And you're going 100 miles an hour, and there's just so many things you're doing, and you can't keep up with everything. And now as you get older and things get settled down, I'm talking about a Christian. Hopefully, you can have more control over these things. Things are settled down, and you can be more calm and have more self-control. See, this is what God wants. God wants us to have this type of self-control, that we handle our affairs properly. We don't lose our cool and blow up and cause an uprising. And that's a thing. We have to look at the whole picture of everything in the work of God. But your patience, hopefully, patience deals with perseverance. What does that deal with? That means don't give up when things get tough, because they will. And who knows what this country will have to face in a number of years with our government, but God's in control. God was in control during the terror of Nero, and he's in control now. And we must believe that. He says, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Tribulations. A lot of things happen that are terrible. And during that time, Christians were, at many times, were fleeing for their life. And they were sent in different coliseums, and they were destroyed by the animal kingdom, or they put these animal coverings over Christians, and then they'd run them out in the woods, and then they'd send these wild dogs after there to destroy them. All these things took place during the early times of the Christians. Okay. Now, but they had to endure it, okay? They couldn't give up, just like today. You're going to lose your soul when you give up. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially them, household faith. He says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not, if we don't give up, okay? We can never give up. Because if you do, Satan wins. Now in verse 5 it says, which is a manifest token, which is referring to the persecutions and tribulations, and verse 4, that they must endure. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Okay, manifest. When you think of the manifestation of God, I think of Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. It talks about, and he's going to be seen in a cloud, and every eye shall see him, and they which pierced him, and all kindred of the world shall wail and mourn because of him. Even so, amen. This is going to be a visible sign, manifest, okay? He refers to that in verse 8 as in flaming fire. Nobody's going to miss it. When our Lord comes back in a cloud, everybody is going to see it. He says in flaming fire. And you know, he says a token. Token is proof. Okay, of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Now, when you look at Acts chapter 5, I'll just throw a few things about that. When the Ananias and Sapphira took place, and they lied to the Holy Spirit, and they were put to death, and fear came upon all the church, and the church was growing and increasing in number. And the apostles had upset the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the high priests, so they grabbed the apostles, all of them, put them in prison. But Gamaliel, can't ever get that right, a man of high reputation among the Jews, a Pharisee, but he was a doctor of the law. He said, you better be careful what you do with these men. Because if this is the work of God, you can't stop it. And they agreed and everything, but they beat them. And the apostles, he says, they were overjoyed. He says, they were willing to be counted worthy of this of the heartache they had. They took place in Acts chapter 5. Okay, Christians, the Bible says if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in his behalf. That's dealing with some of the things that's counted worthy of the kingdom of God, what you have to do, and what they did, the apostles and others during that time, and for the cause of Christ, and how they suffer. Now, in verse 6 says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. A righteous thing. It is a right thing to do. Okay? God is a righteous judge and righteous God. He talked about recompense, to repay or reward. He says reward tribulation to them that trouble you. Those wicked men who abused Christians, who persecuted Christians, what he's dealing with there. And they were the troublemakers. They followed Paul. They even made a plot. 40 of them, they were not going to eat and drink. That they made a vow until they killed Paul. They went and they were laid in wait to kill him. They hated him because he deserted Judaism in the Sanhedrin courts to follow Christ. He says in verse 7, he says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Troubled. They were troubled. They were tormented. They were persecuted. He says, this rest aside, that God will take care of this. He said he could have sent 10,000 angels to take him off the cross if that was the case. And he says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. There's going to be a day coming when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven. And he was. And he will be. Not he hasn't yet, but he will be. With his mighty angels, okay? His archangels, his angels who had more authority than the other angels, referred to as the mighty angels, the captain of the angels, if you want to say. In verse 8 it says, in flaming fire. Why did he use this figurative use? Flaming fire. He wants to identify. He wants every man to see the power of God. He says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, okay? There's a lot of people that think they know God and don't know God. Not everyone is saved to be Lord, Lord, shall I enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7, verse 21. To know God. Vengeance. Nobody's going to get away with anything in this life. Nobody. Sometimes you think, well, this person lived to be 105, but this person may never have had anything to do with the cleansing blood of the Lamb, and they're lost eternally. And but vengeance is going to be on them, and it's like the ones, this is the thing, all the ones that you've invited and continue to invite over the years, and they continue to say no, they won't come back. There's going to be a day of reckoning. It's going to be a day of terror, because the terror they're going to have is those who have left the fold of God, is they had a hold of eternal life and let it slip away. And that's torment. And they'll have that torment for the rest of their days, okay? Nobody's getting away with anything in this life. He says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Obeying the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. He says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Everlasting destruction, hell. Verse 10, it says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. You know, the meek shall inherit the earth. You always heard that? And that's true. They will. Jesus is going to come and take the saints home and be glorified in the saints. There are rich men in this world that may own property. They may own thousands of acres. They may think they own it, so they're just borrowing it. But the meek shall inherit the earth. Okay, they through selfish means sometimes obtain all this treasure on this life. But he says, but in verse 10, it says, when he, this is talking about Jesus, he shall come to be glorified. How's he glorified? In his saints. And to be admired in all them that believe in that day. Believe deals with obedience, keeping his commandments. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That's what it's all about. Our purpose is to glorify God in our lives and to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. And verse 11 says, wherefore, because of all these things that's been mentioned already, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling. You've been called by the gospel of Christ. And fulfill all the good measure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Walking with God. That's the essence of Christianity. Never giving up. Always continue to march. To reach that finish line, to receive your reward. Verse 12, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, okay? And ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. It said, talk about your almskeeping. Do not your alms, your righteousness, before men to be seen of them. Because if you do, God's not going to reward you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving him thanks by him. I paraphrase that a little bit. We'll look at that another time. But Colossians 3, verse 17. This is the thing. Christianity is never to draw attention to us. Ever. It's always to draw attention to God and Christ. Okay? That's what Christianity is all about. Sometimes we are best not to be talking so much and listen more. Be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. We just need to be the kind of people that will continue to glorify the Maker. If there's anyone in this audience who has not obeyed the gospel of Christ, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that faith will lead us to make that good confession that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as he did with the eunuch. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If thou may, okay. And then to repent of your sins, to turn about, a turn away, a change of mind that results in a change of conduct and action. Does that make sense? And then to be baptized, to be buried in water for the remission of your sins. Okay? And then to be faithful to your Lord in the rest of your days until you take your last breath. If you are subject to the invitation, or you need the prayers of the church, this is your opportunity while we stand and sing.